And then I started wondering why there is now we're building reusable rockets and we have phones in our pockets all day, but then a third of my life is spent on a piece of dumb phone. And when you think about a third of your life, don't think daily, think across the whole life. Let's say you live 100 years, it's 33 years of your life that are spent without technology on a piece of dumb phone, and maybe they could be compressed to 25 years. So what if I give you back 8 years of your life? Would you care?
All right, welcome back, or welcome to the Finding Mastery podcast. I'm Michael Gervais, and by trade and training, I'm a sport and performance psychologist, fortunate to work with some of the top performers across the planet. And the idea behind these conversations, this podcast, is to learn from extraordinary people. And what we're going to do is we're going to pull back the curtain to explore how they've committed to mastering both their craft and their minds. And our minds are our greatest asset. And if you want to learn more about how you can train your mind, this is just a quick little reminder here that we've built an online psychological training course that I created with the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll. And you can find all of that information at findingmastery.net/course. I think it's one of the great investments that you might make in your life for yourself and for loved ones. Finding Mastery is brought to you by listening. This is exactly what their app does. It helps you listen to books and content that you might not be able to sit down and actually have the time to read. There was a time in early in my career where I remember sitting in the back hallways of my university and being in the library for hours, reading all of the sports psychology literature and research that I could get my hands on. I loved it. I cherished it. The field of sports psychology is just absolutely on a bender right now. It is growing so fast. It is nearly impossible to keep up with all of the research that's coming out. So that's why I love what listening is doing. It's a game changer for me. So the listening app, it lets me listen to anything that's in writing while I'm on the go. Everything from academic papers to books, PDFs, web pages, articles, anything that I put in their app, it reads it to me. It narrates to me. And plus their AI is great. The way that the interface sounds, like, of course, it's not a human that's reading, but it kind of, the AI is so good of what they're doing, it just works. And then there's also this note-taking function. They know that people like us like to take notes. And so it's as simple as when I hear a key idea, I instantly press a button and that section is saved. They've done a really nice job with this product and they've got a great offer for us. Usually they only give a 2-week trial, but because you are listening to Finding Mastery, you get a whole month for free. Check that out, a whole month for free. So I want to encourage you to go check it out. listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get started. Again, it's listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get 1 month completely free. Finding Mastery is brought to you by Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing simple, convenient, and affordable access to science-informed treatments for erectile dysfunction, known as ED. They also are servicing hair loss, weight loss, and more. Health struggles like ED, they're common, but they can be hard to talk about when it comes to finding a solution. That's why Hims has been a game changer for so many men. The entire process is 100% online. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free in a discreet package. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits, and no insurance is needed. Plus, you can manage your plan directly on the Hims app. You can track progress and learn more about your conditions and how to treat them from leading medical experts. If you or a loved one has been struggling with ED, I really want to encourage you to go check out Hims. I know ED often has a psychological component to it as well. So be sure that you're stacking some psychological best practices into your daily routine. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/findingmastery. That's Hims, HIMS.com/findingmastery for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/findingmastery. Disclaimer, hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Now, this week's conversation is with Matteo Franceschetti, the CEO of 8Sleep. Matteo has always been obsessed with performance, athletic performance, business performance, and now sleep performance. And he's found success in all three: sports podiums, working at an international law firm, and then starting two clean tech companies on two different continents. And he did all this before the age of 30. So not surprisingly, sleepless nights were a way of life for him. And that's what led him down this path. It was Matteo's quest for more restorative sleep that in fact led him down the path to launch 8Sleep. It's a company dedicated to fueling human potential through optimal sleep and to turning the bed into a seamless health platform for improved health, performance, and longevity. 8Sleep has been an amazing partner for us for a handful of years now. And I wanted to speak to Matteo to understand both his entrepreneurial journey and his insights there, as well as his insights on sleep. And when you think about, like, what are the keys for a great night's sleep? You probably know what good sleep hygiene is, but I think that you'll be surprised to learn more about some of the common misnomers that we touch on in this episode. You can also learn more about our partnership with 8Sleep and get $150 off when you visit 8sleep.com/findingmastery. So with that, let's jump right into this week's conversation with Matteo. Matteo, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, congratulations on what you built. I think that you have made a dent, definitely in my family's life, but in performers and people who are interested in human performance. And so I love it. I'm so excited to talk to you. And, you know, before we get started, I just want to say thank you for supporting the podcast as well. It's been meaningful to us.
No, absolutely. We're big supporters and believer in what you do as well. So yeah. Thanks to you as well.
Yeah, cool. Okay, good. So let's do this, Matteo. Let's just get a quick frame of where you came from, and that'll eventually lead us to where you are and the insights you've gathered. And then that'll set us up for where's the future, both for sleep, both for being an entrepreneur, you know, and being a human for the next iteration of what humanness means, right? So we'll go a little past right now, and then we'll get to the future. So where'd you grow up? I know sport was a big part of your life.
Yeah, born and raised in Italy. I was really doing sport all the time when I was a teenager. I was doing mainly tennis. It was probably 80% of my focus. When I was somewhere between 10 and 12 years old, I was doing ski races as well. Then I also had a big accident at the time, and that is when I really switched to tennis. And then I started racing with go-karts when I was somewhere around 16, 17 years old. My dad used to be in the junior team of the ski national team, Italian national team. Then he has been 2 times Italian champion with cars in hill climbing. So that is where I have now learned the passion for motorsport and for sport in general.
What is growing up in Italy, how has that influenced your thinking about, so I haven't spent meaningful time there. So I don't, my family of origin is Gerontano, and so Sicilian. And so I have an influence, but I want to know how growing up in Italy has influenced your outlook on life. What are some things you're like, wow, I wish other people, like, I don't understand that they don't think this way or they don't respond this way.
Yeah. Well, let's start from a couple of funny stories and then I'll answer specifically. So first of all, my hometown is, there are 150,000 people living there. So it's reasonably small. We have a castle from, I think, 800 in the middle of the city, but it's as big as a block in New York, right? So it's a big, big castle with the water around. And then we have the walls, I think made in 1200, that they surround the city. Because it's a city from the Middle Age. For the first time I took my wife there, she's Mexican, she's from TJ. And there are in the center of the city some of these very old houses that now has sort of like premium houses because they have been not remade and now they're very old. And now she asked me, you know, she looked at these houses and said, do people really still live here? Because she couldn't believe that they were living in houses that have 1,000 years. right? They are 1,000 years old. But I think the bottom line is, look, I mean, Italy has a lot of pros. I love my country. I think it teaches a lot about aesthetic, about, you know, fashion, about pleasure, about life enjoyment, right? From food to clothes to everything you do in your life, right? Italians are probably, you know, some of the best in the world. And that is something I can still turn on when I want to be on vacation or when I want to take care of myself. But definitely, you know, then in the US, I really learned how to do, I think, probably real business.
Okay. So the life flourishing part, you've got your Italian roots, and then the business frames, you learn from the American ethos.
Yeah. UK, when I work in the UK law firms and US, yes.
Okay. And then where was your training? Boots on the ground, scrappy, figured out, or did you go more traditional education route?
Well, traditional, because I started studying law. My dad and my sister, they're both lawyers. So at the time, I was the typical athlete, just, you know, working out and doing sports. I was not really caring about my career. Then something switched a certain point, and I understood the importance of graduating with good, you know, with good results. And so at the end, I graduated now with honor. I started learning English until when I was 21. I was not speaking English, but I wanted to get into the best law firms in the world. When I really understood, okay, now my future will be a professional future, not as an athlete, I still wanted the best. I didn't want to work at my dad's law firm in the small town. I say, screw that. There are these guys. I still remember this magazine where I read it randomly one day, and I read there were these big lawyers working on these big M&A transactions. But to be admitted there, you had to graduate magna cum laude and with honor, and you had to speak English, and these were the guys. And so that day, something in my mind switched, and I went from the first 6, 7, 8 months of university where they were okay to then nailing one after the other the scores and graduating with honor.
Okay.
I moved to the US, studied here for 6 months, learned English, went back, and got in two of the largest law firms in the world.
Very cool. Okay. So that's probably helped your savviness as being an entrepreneur, is having a good foundation in law and some frames of reference there. Okay. Why sleep?
Everything started because of two reasons. First, I wanted to sleep less to work more, good or bad. But that is how I started looking into that. Why do I need 8 hours? Why Elon Musk is taking me to Mars, but I still spend a third of my life on a piece of dumb phone? There is no technology. Sleep didn't change for 4,000 years. It didn't make sense to me.
Wait, hold on, Mateo. You say people are on Mars, but why are you still sleeping on the same phone, you know, that our great-great-grandparents were sleeping on?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, yeah. The latest innovation in beds is memory foam invented in 1960 from the NASA. And it's just a piece of foam like the other one. It just behaves slightly differently. It's
insane. Actually doesn't work for me. I get really hot. Like it doesn't, I don't breathe properly. Maybe it works for some folks, but I got to tell you, like what you've done, us as scientists, as an applied scientist in human performance, right? And as a specifically through the lens of psychology, sleep is foundational. I know you're going to go here about how important it is. I just want to know why sleep for you, but what you've done as a disruptive nature to get temperature at a local level, not like local in your room, but local to like the thing that's touching your body. Yeah, man. I can't wait to get into some of what you're finding and whatever, but okay. But why sleep for you? You wanted to sleep less so you could work more?
Yeah, but that is how everything started. I started looking into why we were sleeping 8 hours, and it's not written anywhere that you need to sleep 8 hours. And so I started understanding that is just how inefficient your body is. And because your body is inefficient, it takes 8 hours. But what you really need is the amount of deep, the amount of REM, and maybe to a certain degree, a certain amount of light sleep. But you don't need 8 hours. Potentially, you could sleep in 6 hours if you compress the amount of light sleep. And then I started wondering why there is now we're building reusable rockets and we have phones in our pockets all day, but then a third of my life is spent on a piece of dumb phone. And when you think about a third of your life, don't think daily, think across the whole life. Let's say you live 100 years, because now we will live longer. It's 33 years of your life that are spent without technology on a piece of dumb foam, and maybe they could be compressed to 25 years. So what if I give you back 8 years of your life? Would you care?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I like it. Okay. Yes. All right. And I'll tell you, like, let me just jump to a kind of an applied challenge right now, because I still want to get into your framework and how you work, because it's going to set up how you've built the thing that you've built and where you're going next. But I'll tell you one of the, so I like technology as feedback loops. I think it's really valuable. And sometimes I look at my technology and it says, okay, light sleep was this, or deep sleep was that, or REM sleep was whatever. And it's like, I don't know how I can impact my REM sleep. I don't know how to make my deep sleep better. I get all of the stuff that you're going to recommend, which is like, okay, intermittent fasting, food restriction, exercise in the day as opposed to at night, make sure hydration's right, meditate, breathing. And I'm doing all that. But I still can't manipulate deep sleep and REM sleep. Can I just insert like a very applied problem that I have right now that I think many people, when they look at their feedback loops, are trying to solve? Can you teach on that for just a moment?
Yeah. And I think that is a core principle of what we do at 8 Sleep compared to wearables, right? I think wearables are still great devices, but some of our customers, they say, so what, right? I have all this data. My light sleep was 17%. My deep sleep was 17%. My REM was 15%. So what? How do we take it to 20? That's right. And so there is where we come in, right? And we started with temperature, because temperature is the big elephant in the room when you think of sleep improvements, right? There is clinical evidence, or you just read the book Why We Sleep from Professor Matthew Walker. There is a whole section about thermoregulation. So there is evidence that through thermoregulation, you can fall asleep up to 20% faster. That's you right. can get up to 20% more deep sleep and or REM. You get, in based on our data, 40% less wake ups and 30% less toss and turns, just through thermoregulation. So maybe we are not compressing your sleep 2 hours, but we are making your sleep more restful. Definitely you fall asleep faster. Definitely you will wake up feeling more refreshed. Temperature is just the first. Then we will start tackling light and noise.
Okay, so let's not do light and noise for a moment. But with your tech, one of the things that I think is significant is that the intelligence of adjusting temperature throughout the night, because the second half of sleep, you want to get more REM sleep in.
Correct.
And so if I run hot, so I'll wake up on the second half of sleep as my body temperature is going up, I need my mattress to cool down. And so my thermostat in my room doesn't do enough for it.
Correct.
So I'm not clear on this actually. Is your tech following my body? Because I like set it. I set what I want to have on your app, right? I'm sending it like, okay, I want to start at this temperature and end at this temperature. Is it actually fluctuating throughout the night based on the feedback that it's getting from my body temperature?
So we're developing what is called temperature autopilot.
Okay.
That obviously follows the Tesla autopilot concept. So what you will see, you will receive software updates. I'm already sleeping on these new ML models, where we can adjust temperature based on your sleep stages, based on your heart rate variability and your HR.
Okay.
So I think one of the key components of our device is that it will keep getting better and better through software updates. It's like a Tesla, right? It's overbuilt from an hardware standpoint, and just through software, we can improve your experience over time. And what you just described is going to happen in the next few months.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I'm glad I didn't make the assumption, because I was wondering if that was happening. But you're on what exactly your customer, me, wanted, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all right. Very cool. And then, okay. So let's go back to your history. Thank you for entertaining a very specific question. And let me summarize it quickly, is that in the second half of sleep, it's really about REM. And if you are solving a temperature regulation issue and I wake up when it gets hot, that you're saying, I'm going to keep you cool, and you might get more REM sleep in return.
Even more deep sleep, right? The clinical evidence shows that you could get up to 20% more deep sleep. Some of our customers, they report even up to 40% with their aura or their group.
Okay, I want to talk to you about a new sponsor right here, Hydro. I love what they're doing. They are awesome. I don't know if you're into rowing like I am. I really enjoy it. What I try to move around different cardio exercises. Sometimes on a bike, sometimes I'm rowing, sometimes I'm outside. But when I want to row, they've got it dialed in. They've done something fundamentally different than all the other rowers. One, it's not this loud machine that is making a ton of noise and, you know, chains slapping all over the place. They've done this in a really slick, premium, elevated way. And then the other thing they've done is that there's a nice screen that you can have a guide or a coach with you. And their coaches are Olympians and world-class athletes. And what they've done is they're filming, full stop, they are filming all over the world on places where their experts are rowing, and then you get to go with them. And they're coaching you the whole way. I love it. My favorite coach by far is Mac. She's great. And I just want to encourage you to give them a shot. If you love rowing, I think you're going to love this machine. And if you're not into rowing, I don't know if you know this, but rowing, there's been some research around rowing that rowing engages over 80% of your muscles while you're doing it. So it's a really efficient exercise. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's hydro.com, HYDROW.com, and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400. Hydro.com, use the code MASTERY. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AG1. It's really important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for almost a decade now, I've been drinking AG1. When I first was connected with them, I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. And then I double-clicked to understand their process and how they went about it. And I just love the rigor that goes into what they're creating and the product that they have. And they've gone through so many iterations to get it just right, 52 of them to be exact. Sometimes quality can be a buzzword, but they are committed. They are fundamentally committed to have a great product for us. They're interested in absorption. They're interested in high quality manufacturing. They rigorously test their product. So I trust what's in AG1. And one of the reasons I have extra confidence in that statement is they are NSF certified for sport. That's one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. They've made it so easy as well. What I do every morning is I take a scoop, put it into a cup of water, shake it up, and it's the first thing that I put in my stomach. I love it. It just gives me the sense like, okay, I've invested in my health and I haven't even started my day yet. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, I want to encourage you to go check out AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/findingmastery. Again, that's drinkag1.com/findingmastery. I hope you go check them out. Do you have a point of view about what's happening in deep and REM sleep? And I've studied, I know you've studied, and there's lots of analogies. You know, it's the cleaning up, it's the memory consolidation, it's. Are you staying in those lanes, or do you have some new insights that you've come to understand about sleep?
So the way I pitch this is always I try not to follow the grandma rule. So I try to be as simple as possible. And so the deep sleep is really the recovery for your physical body.
Yep.
Right. While instead the REM is the recovery for your mind, which is, you know, a memory consolidation and the reorganization of all the information that you collected during the day. The first part of the night is physical, as we say, because it's deep. And so, for example, if you're sleep deprived, your body will just spend more time on deep sleep at the beginning. Once the deep sleep or the minimum deep sleep has been achieved is when it shifts to REM. By the way, there is also clinical evidence that the temperature between REM and deep is different, mm-hmm. right? And the reason is particularly because when you are in REM, your body your brain deactivates certain body functions because you're dreaming, right? Mm-hmm. When you dream, you're in REM, not when you're in deep sleep. And so it deactivates temperature control. So usually your body, to maximize the REM, the REM phase, needs to be in what is called thermal neutrality. So the brain doesn't feel that you could die because it's too hot or too cold. While instead in deep sleep is when the environment could be way hot, way warmer or way colder. But in general, temperature is very subject-based, meaning it's subject to your gender, to your age, to your metabolism, to when you train that day, to the temperature in the room, if you had alcohol or not, if you had carbs or not.
Yeah. Okay. And so when I play that back in my head, it's like REM sleep for mental processing. And what you're suggesting is that your brain is trying to sort out how to survive at all times. And so if you are, and it's, so it's sensitive to temperature during REM.
When you're in REM, your brain deactivates temperature control in the body.
Oh, so I got it exactly wrong.
Yeah, it's the opposite. So it doesn't control it.
Yeah.
Right. So if you were in a winter storm, you could potentially die if you were in REM phase. So your brain doesn't let you get into REM if you're in an environment that is too cold. The same thing happens with if it's too hot.
Okay. So then why do I wake up in the second half of sleep when I'm too hot?
So the first question is, the second part of the night is not only REM. Right.
Correct. So, okay. Got it. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So that fluctuation
is a percentage, right? You get, so a sleep cycle is 90 minutes, right? And that includes light, deep, and REM. And both, all these phases are always included in the 90 minute cycle. In the first part of the night, you tend to get a larger percentage of deep compared to REM. In the second part of the night, you get a larger percentage of REM compared to deep.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Thank you. Getting a little crash course, reminding some good stuff here. Okay. Okay. Mateo, let's go back to history. I understand why you wanted to invest in building a technology because it was a solution you needed. Why become an entrepreneur?
So I became an entrepreneur when I was still in Italy, right? When I was still a lawyer. So there was this opportunity I saw in renewable energy. It was probably the only opportunity of a lifetime in Italy to become an entrepreneur, because you cannot raise money in Italy, right? So that company was profitable since day one. And it was the closest thing to sport, right? It's exactly like being an athlete. And so when I saw that opportunity, I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. I didn't know what a startup was. I didn't even know the word startup when I was in Italy, but I just felt it. It was fighting like an athlete.
And so it scratched two itches. One is, this thing is not existing that I'm interested in on the sleep side, not on the renewable. And the second is like, ooh, it feels like I'm on the grid again. I get to compete in a way that feels familiar. Okay. Is there a moment that comes to mind when you think about the single most difficult moment in your life?
I mean, many. I think it depends from the perspective, right? There was, as an entrepreneur, many, because most of my companies probably died almost 10 times and then we saved them. But I think there is a very critical moment that is when I became an entrepreneur. It was 2009 and my dad just died. Right? She died at like December 08. And I was doing really well in the law firm, right? I was one of the fastest growing junior guys. And my family didn't have a lot of savings. And so my mom came to me and she said, look, why are you doing this, right? You're in one of the best law firms in the world. You're doing well. So if you keep doing well, you know, you will be successful. Why would you do this? And if something goes wrong, I can't back you up, right? We don't have your dad anymore. So I felt the pressure there. But then, you know, I did what I felt was right. And so far, so good.
So is the difficult moment making the choice, or is the difficult moment your dad passing? And I don't want to make light of it, but I hear both of those in there.
Making a decision that is not reversible, right? That is how I think of decision. That is not reversible. Once I quit the law firm, yeah, maybe they would take me back because it was good, but very likely no. And then how do I pay the bills?
How did you do that? How did you make that decision?
Usually in those moments, so today I have frameworks, but at the time I just followed my gut. I wanted to do that. I do what I want. I'll figure it out.
spoken like a true downhill racer, you know, yeah. Hey, I'm just going to get on edge. I'm going to torque that ski as much as a human can. And I hope I don't spring out of it, you know, yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. All right. So you've got a, do you have a high appetite for, or capacity for risk?
Yes.
Physical risk?
Both.
Financial risk?
Financial, I mean, I do my own projection. I write my number at the time. I calculated with the money I had in the bank. If something would go wrong, I think I had 6 months of life. And then I started making a probabilistic assessment on finding a job within 6 months. So I was not completely done in my assessment. But then I trusted that I would figure out within 6 months.
Okay. And then high on physical. What about emotional risk?
Probably less. It depends on the definition of emotional.
It's like saying the thing that your heart feels in stepping into a moment of vulnerability.
So I'm really good at telling you what I think, even giving feedback. For example, as a CEO, I'm the type of guy who tells you straightforward what is on my mind. But when it's time to open myself emotionally, and not showing my vulnerability, I'm not good at that.
Yeah. Okay. So lower on emotional risk, high on physical and financial. And then when it comes to moral risk, like breaking some moral rules because you find them that they don't really matter. How about that type of risk? Most people say, I'm low. Most people do not say.
I could just answer that, but I want to think. It depends on the moral risk, right? If you are, if it's about cheating your wife or killing a person, no, I'm really low. Mm-hmm. But maybe there are others where I'm a bit more flexible. I don't know. But I think I have strong values. The way I would answer is, I think I have strong family values, and for family, not just within the family, but I think my family gave me core values of how I should judge myself as a human being. And so those things are not compromisable.
There you go. Okay. Mm. And then the other one is social risk.
Can you give me an example?
Being okay to look like a fool because like people are going to judge you and think that what you've done is stupid, but you're like, hey, listen, I'm going for it. I don't care much what they think, or like, that would be somebody that breaks or takes risk socially. And then high or low social risk is like, nah, if I get kicked out of the tribe, I don't know how I'd really manage it. So I'm going to play it safe.
Yeah. That is a good one. Meaning it changed a lot during my life. When you come from a small city, particularly in Italy, everyone is always judging you because they probably don't have too much to do or other things to think. And so they judge you from everything, right? From the watch that you're wearing to how you behave to how you dress, it's very like that in the small towns in Italy. And so I think when I was a kid, I was quite impacted by that. Then I think as you become older, and I think as you have more data points on yourself, then is where you gain a little bit of freedom every single time, right? Because you have evidence. What I was thinking makes sense. I don't care what they think because now, you know, I'm making more progress than them. Then I think, like any smart person, it becomes a measurement of, okay, who is giving me feedback? Do I listen to feedbacks? And then am I able to take my own decision? And I think that is where I'm finding a good compromise, where I'm a good listener, but then I still have my independent opinion and I do what I feel is the right thing.
Okay. So it sounds like you've actually migrated from,
yes,
yeah, from a high need or high sensitivity to what others are thinking to a lower sensitivity. And you've replaced it more with like, I'm making some internal calibrations based on what feels accurate and true for me.
Correct. I have buckets and I look at the feedback in each of these buckets from people that I believe are key stakeholders on the bucket, let's say as a CEO, other people that are great investors or great CEOs. If they give me a feedback, I listen to them and then I could go in an opposite direction. And instead for moral stuff, maybe I listen to other people. You know, and so I select these key stakeholders in each bucket, and I keep myself accountable to those people.
Oh, cool. Okay. And then earlier you mentioned that's one framework that you're using. And then earlier you mentioned, and I wanted to hit it at that moment, but I didn't, that you said, I've got some other frameworks on risk-taking, which is more
on decisions.
Yeah. Decisions. Yeah. Cause you're saying I went with my gut at that one point, you know, about whether I listened to my gut. And so what are the frameworks now that you're using?
So the first one is reversible versus not reversible.
I love that framework, by the way. A swinging door versus,
Jeff Bezos, right? So that is one. Connected to Jeff, there is also the regret minimization framework that I use. I fast forward myself when I'm 8 years old. I look back, will I regret this decision or not? Which if you think is part of what happened when I decided to become an entrepreneur. Then as a CEO, the other thing I use four quadrants, and I have a line for impact and one for knowledge, right? And so if I have high knowledge and it's high impact, I take the decision. If it's low impact and I have no knowledge, I delegate 100% of the times. Mm-hmm. And then you can play and position each potential decision in this framework and you decide how much you want to be involved.
Mateo, I love it. That's a game changer right there. Okay, yeah. So you went knowledge and impact.
Yeah.
So how do you determine on the impact side if something has high impact? That it's so objective.
Yeah. Objective, can this increase my revenue 10x? Is a non-reversible decision, all that kind of
things. Those are all impact measures. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you make, like you say 10x, is that a framework that you use as well, 10x, or is it?
Yeah, add a zero, 10x, that is how it's called.
What's the first part you said?
Add a zero.
Add a zero?
Don't do anything that doesn't add a zero to the top line. That's what I usually say to my team.
Don't do anything that doesn't add a zero to the top line. Yeah, okay. Cool. All right. So you're drinking right out of the Silicon Valley, you know, page or fountain there on some of this stuff. Yeah. So is 10X a real framework for you though?
Oh, 100% is one of our values in the company. 8 values of one of those. And I repeat it all the time.
Yeah. I didn't know if you're throwing it around right now or you're like, no. We've thought seriously about 10X. Okay.
No, I say that I use that framework probably once a day.
You do. Okay. How many employees do you have?
Right now we are in the 50s and we are more than doubling.
What does your senior leadership team look like? How many?
We are 5 and hiring the 6th.
5. Okay. And then the other 50, whatever, roll up to those 5?
In terms of profiles?
Yeah.
60% is between engineering and product and the rest is ops and growth.
Ops and growth. Okay. Engineering and ops and growth. No sales? Ops and growth.
It's part of growth.
Yeah. Okay. Mostly all digital?
Right now, yes. But mm-hmm. we are opening non-digital.
Okay. Where do you get nervous, Mateo, about the future of 8 Sleep?
Hiring. I would say the number one, once you hire the right people, they will figure it out. And so you can trust them. If you hire the wrong people, you're just having a larger organization that just moves slower.
What's the wrong person?
Every organization is different, right? And it's like being friends. That is what I always tell people, right? You cannot be friends with everyone. And people that for us are good are people that are really intense, meaning they work at high mm-hmm. intensity. They move fast. They are highly coachable. We know how to do our own things. We're really detail oriented. Probably comes from my past as a lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. We want to do things in a certain way. And so we want people that are humble enough to take that and maybe fine tune it. It's not that we pretend to, you know, to set every rule. And people that really care. I mean, here we can save lives. We can extend lives. And we can just help people live a better life. And so we don't want mercenaries. But that is a different way to say the same concept.
And then at what point did you lose track of the final knighting of who's going to be on the team? At some point, people were hiring others. Was it your first, after say first 10 employees?
No, I still hire. I'm everyone we hired, I interviewed them. There are degrees, but at least one interview. And more roles, I'm involved in a couple of list of interviews. an executive's office. I spent at least 6 hours, 6 to 10 hours with each executive before hiring them.
Finding Master is brought to you by Apollo Neuro. By now, you're probably well aware that I am a huge fan of what they're doing. I love what they're building and how they're using science-backed technology to help people flourish. This is just a great technology that isn't measuring something. It's actually providing a state change for you to help you either downregulate, find a deeper sense of calm, maybe fall asleep a little bit easier. And if you want to be a bit more up and animated, they've got a way to help you do that as well. It's awesome. It works by sending silent, soothing vibrations. They call them Apollo vibes, of course. That's fun. And it's like music that you can just feel. Just like music, higher vibrations help improve your energy and focus, while lower vibrations, slower vibrations, help to reduce stress, help you relax. I use it twice a day. I use it after I do something really intense. So after it's a lift, after some fitness, after some sport, or after something I'm doing in the office. And I use it right before I go to bed. The science that they've found is fascinating. Across various real world and clinical trials, Apollo wearable users experience up to 40% less stress and feelings of anxiety. That's an average, of course. 19% more time in deep sleep, 11% increase in HRV, heart rate variability, and up to 25% more focus and concentration. Those are radical. And because you're a part of the Finding Mastery community, you're going to get an exclusive, and I mean that word here, 15% off an Apollo wearable. So just head to apolloneuro.com/findingmastery and use the code findingmastery at checkout. This is an exclusive offer only available to Finding Mastery. I love that we get to do this together. So be sure to use our code. Again, APOLLONEURO, apolloneuro.com/findingmastery, or use the code findingmastery at checkout for 15% off your purchase. You're only getting that here. I really hope you'll check them out. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AquaTrue. We all know how important hydration is to performance and recovery and well-being, but it's not just about how much you drink. The quality of your water plays a big role. And if you're like me and you don't fully trust tap water, and I think for good reason, research by the Environmental Working Group has shown that 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. have harmful contaminants in tap water. That's why I'm really excited to introduce AquaTrue. Their purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. It's incredible. I can literally taste the difference in my water. Plus, the filters are affordable and long-lasting. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That adds up to less than 3 cents per bottle. It feels great to know that all at once, I'm saving money, getting the highest quality water for the Finding Mastery team, and helping make a positive impact on the environment by eliminating single-use plastics all the way around. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. And right now, because you're a Finding Mastery listener, you receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. So just go to AquaTrue.com. You spell it AquaTrue.com and enter the code FINDINGMASTERY at checkout. Again, that's AquaTrue.com. Enter the Finding Mastery code at checkout to receive 20% off any purifier that you buy there. All right. I love what you're doing. I love your frameworks. I love the product. I think what you're on is really cool. What is your craft at this point?
I think, I mean, obviously it should be others judging that. I think there is one that I believe I have that is, there are a couple, but the first one or the one I'm most proud of is to, when I let people achieve more than what they believe they could achieve. That is what makes me really, really happy. And the way I do it is just because I push them, I stretch them, but then you have this reward where they really unlock superpowers. And that is what makes me happy, because now these people are happier or stronger or more confident people. Mm-hmm. So that is number one. Then I think I'm good at fundraising. I'm good at I'm a very present CEO, right? You can call me anytime. of the day or the night, I will always there. For our best people, we have done a lot of things personally to help them. So we take care of our people.
I read that you are a bit like a doctor, that running a company, you know, like the CEO is a bit like a doctor, that nobody needs you when things are running smoothly, when health is good, but if something goes sideways, that's when they give you a jingle.
Yeah. I always say that. And I think that is probably my own framework. I never heard anyone else talking about that, but I think the CEO is a doctor. They don't need me when they need things, right? We just did a new record in sales this month, the greatest ever, beating Cyber Monday, Black Friday ever. They don't need me. They're nailing it. Then I can focus on the other things that are broken.
When you guys go nuts and you celebrate something inside your company and you're like, oh my goodness, what are there a couple examples? Like, do you guys celebrate?
You touch a good point. If you were asking me about my weaknesses, I struggle to celebrate because I'm already thinking about the next thing, right? We just hit the new goal yesterday. I'm already thinking, okay, from how do we grow 50%?
And hey, dude, hey, what region? You need some wine.
I don't drink.
You're done. I read that. You're done with drinking, right? Like you, like, did you, I couldn't tell if you ran into like a cliff of drinking where you're like, okay, I got a problem. Or was this more dietary? Like, hey, listen, I know the data on sleep and it is not helping me and I'm done with it.
Yeah. I decided overnight, my wife with me, it was actually, I think exactly 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We came back from a trip in Europe where we had, you know, we were having cocktails before dinner and a bottle of wine. We came back, we felt bloated, disgusted. Mm-hmm. After we knew the data about sleep, we said, what if we stop? We stopped. We never stopped again.
Both of you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think as being a sleep company,
yeah,
I think you've got to like have some fidelity there. So and then Matteo asked me how alcohol affects my sleep.
I ask you.
Yeah, it's hey, dude, it screws me up. Now, but you know what? One glass, maybe a glass and a half, maybe two, about 4 hours before sleep, I don't see an impact. Okay. So I think my window is like 3 to 4 hours, you know, makes post. Sense. Yeah, same. Yeah. Same for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think 4 hours, it should be pretty average, standard. So it's feasible. Not everyone, but 2 hours is really the minimum, meaning you should stop drinking at least 2 hours before.
Dude, that means my dinner starts at like 5 p.m. though. You know?
And more than dinner, just drinking.
My drink, like, yeah. Drinking it's, at like 5 it's, yeah. It's too much. Because I'm trying to shut her down. Like I'm competing my ass off. Dude. Sleep is a big rock to get in the container. And I compete my ass off to get my sleep right. You know, it's a big deal for me. And so, I know it's a difference. For sure. But you know, one or two, actually, I don't notice it. There's something nice and social and, you know, I run kind of intense. And so I've got all the right practices, mindfulness and this, that, and the other, to downregulate, but sometimes a glass of wine feels nice to us, you know? So, but if it's a 9 PM and I'm suffering for 2 to 3 days.
Yep.
And then, so can you walk through some of your, routines? I see you as a modern entrepreneur, businessman that is like doing some really cool shit. So what are some of the routines that you've got?
So I usually wake up around 6:30 a.m. If I train in the morning. I fast all day. So usually during the week, at least Monday to Friday, I eat once a day just for dinner.
23-hour fast?
Yeah. During the weekend, I do 16-8. So we have a sort of brunch with my wife. I don't drink. I do, in terms of training, I do a lot of HIIT, high interval intensity training. I do strength. When I can, I do sauna or ice bath if I have them, if I find them. So I'm pretty obsessed with everything about, you know, health. And sort of biohacking, I also measure everything with our own device, with the Oura and Boop, everything else.
I got Oura Ring on right now, and we've got your technology at home. So we're doing the same thing.
Glucose monitoring with levels. I use that.
Same.
Yeah, those are, I would say, key things. Nutrition, sleep, and fitness, and then work and motorsport.
Okay. Yeah, that's what's up. Okay, and then do you have any evening routines?
Yeah, so the lights in the house start dimming down and switch to orange around 7:30, and then they turn off by 9:30. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is my bed thermoregulated. There is the temperature in the bedroom. If I can, sometimes when I after work, I try to do a hot cold shower switching. I call it thermal shock.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to build a sauna and an ice bath at home to do that. And then I do mobility exercises before going to bed and read.
So are you cold shower or hot shower in the morning?
Both.
Both. And so are you both like to shower at night or in the morning or both?
Both.
I like both. And you're doing the shocking on both in the morning and evening. Okay. Yeah. And then your HIIT training, 20 minutes?
So if it's on the treadmill and strength, it's probably somewhere between 30 and 45. Then I do a lot of tennis because I was a tennis player. And so obviously that is 1 to 2 hours.
Okay. I'm listening and I'm somewhat concerned about fatigue and burnout for you, you know, like an adrenal burnout where you're pushing so hard without enough sustenance. But I'm not looking at your nutrition, your diet, or your panel of blood or genetic profile. So it sounds like you're pretty switched on there.
Yeah, I think I stretch myself pretty thin. So there could be some improvement that I should do. Even because also the weekends now, I tend to keep working. Definitely Sunday afternoon, I'm at my desk, I get in the zone, and then I'm always on, which is good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the quality of your life? Do you feel like I love my life, or are you playing in the game right now to try to manage now for a better later tomorrow?
No, I love my life. I feel like an F1 driver.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, F1 driver. Okay. All right.
It was big change since when I moved to Miami. You know, when I was in New York, it was not. They called it the rat life with my wife. Because it was just work, and then some shopping and eating and keep going. But since when I moved to Miami, it's very different. You know, now we really enjoy our life. We have a bigger space. We have an outdoor. We eat outdoor at night. We cook our dinner because she's one of the founders as well. And so we have this magic thing where we work really, really hard, but we have our own spaces where as a couple and as human beings. So it's the perfect combination.
My wife and I work together as well. She's intimately involved in the company. And there's challenges in that, you know, and there's some really fun stuff that comes out of it. You know, shared passion, shared thinking, deep trust, you know, like really cool stuff that comes with it. You're building something together. Where do you guys create friction and how do you solve it?
I think I'm lucky because Alexandra, she really has a great attitude. Probably we have, I don't know, 2 tough moments a year, like a discussion. Usually happens when she's really stressed because at that point she's less flexible at standing me. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when there is a big lunch or a big moment for the company, if she starts feeling that, that could be the case. But otherwise, I think we're really well balanced. We both, I think, really like our life. We don't have kids, and so every time that we have free, we can really spend it for us. Mm-hmm. We travel a lot because of work, so we have that variety. And she understands when I work hard, and I understand her when she works hard without resentment because we're left behind because we're part of the same.
Okay, Mateo, you're sounding too good to be true. Okay. All right. Handsome, successful, smart, good love life. Come on, dude. Like how am I supposed to drink this? Like dude, let's celebrate it. Like we don't have to find something that's like sideways, but I'm saying like this sounds like I bet people in your life look at you and go, okay, he's got something going.
Yeah, I think I don't care what other people think, right? I know my life is tough, right? Running a company like a startup, you have a lot of up and down. again, it was not easy to come here, to get here, which is still nowhere. But I'm saying I come from a small town of 150,000 people. I was not speaking English at 20 years old, when I was 21 years old. You know? So I'm happy with my progress, and I'm proud of that. Then, like everyone, I have my weaknesses. I share some. And we just keep going. I'm lucky with my family, with my wife.
Dude, I love it. Okay. Where are you going? What's the next iteration of your tech look like? And are you more interested in some of the data you're collecting or the hardware or the software? You're probably going to say all three, but maybe there's something else I'm missing. And I'd love to know kind of where you want to go with your company. Because I love the hardware. Cool. You've got a mattress and you've got a mattress top. The technology, the software, you're tracking data, you're able to influence the hardware through your software. But the metadata that you have on folks has got to be pretty extraordinary and valuable, but I'm not sure how.
We really want to do two things, right? That's the way that I pitch it. We want to compress your sleep and we want to save your life. Compress your sleep means what if you could sleep only 6 hours and get more rest than when you were sleeping 8 hours? And obviously it's a provocative number. But definitely we want technology to enhance your sleep performance. And then there is the big piece of what we are doing that is saving your life. We are looking at sensors that will be able to scan your body. And so what if in 3 years from now we could detect cancer or other illnesses while you're asleep? That is one of the goals I gave to my engineers.
Your technology, let's go a wrist-based and a finger-based technology for heart rate variability, and let's just stay with those two. When I first was exposed to your product, I was like, no chance that you guys can do HRV and heart rate as good as a chest strap, as good as a finger strap, or as good as a wrist strap. How do you ring that bell? How do you answer that to the critical lens as an applied scientist?
Well, with hard evidence, we are within one heartbeat per minute compared to a medical grade EKG.
How are you doing? Well, I'm not asking for secret sauce.
Yeah. No, I mean, outside of sleep, if you just look at ballistocardiography and our sensors, we didn't reinvent the wheel. The technology already existed, just no one took it to consumer. Mm-hmm. Has been used in hospitals since the 70s. So the fact that that technology can achieve medical grade accuracy with or without a sleep is proven. It's not debatable.
Okay. I didn't know that. I read that you guys have high accuracy but I haven't had the chance to connect some of those
dots. We actually run some clinical trials in some of the largest hospitals in the US. We have picked the first episode of a heart rate condition already with our devices. And we're talking about pretty important name with a really important doctor. So the technology works, there are no doubts. Then obviously then making a compelling consumer product that can scale to a million people is different.
I didn't notice in your personal routine stack, if you're doing any sort of meditation, mindfulness training, breathing training, I didn't hear that. I know that to have a great impact on sleep. Yeah.
It's one of my weaknesses, meaning I do it, then I stop, then I redo it, and then I stop. It's probably I'm usually very consistent on things. My wife says I'm more German than Italian. But there is one of the things where I can't keep going.
Okay. Where do you see the future? And I want to honor your time and say thank you in advance. I love this conversation, but where are you seeing the future?
The future is sleeping faster, right? And saving your life. I can't accept that I need to go to the doctor, right? There are some of these cancers like pancreatic or colon cancer. The most of the times, if you were able to detect them very early, you can save your own life, right? The reason why they're not detected early is because you don't go regularly to scan your body in those areas, right? The dad of my wife died because of colon cancer, for example. And so if we can use some of the technologies that we are exploring and we can scan your body every single night and extend your life, in the regret minimization framework that we discussed, that is what would make sense in how I spent my own life.
In your words, how do you define mastery? How do you think about the concept?
I use a different framework, at least for the greatest athletes, right? Greatest athletes are, the difference between a great athlete and a good athlete is that the great athlete sometimes make things impossible possible. Right. A good one is, okay, you were already the favorite. Now you already had the likelihood to win, whatever, you do it good. The great is when there is no chance that he can make it this time and they will make it. I think mastery is a similar concept applied to different crafts, right? Doesn't matter if now you're a butcher or you have a bakery or you're a tech CEO, right? Can you make something impossible possible?
Very cool. Mateo, thank you again. Super stoked that you're supporting us and that we're able to support you in return. I love the modern feel of what you're doing. I love the authenticity of your approach. I love your openness and to explore ideas and concepts, your high conscientiousness to do right for individuals at scale. You've got this extroverted nature where you're a people person. You've got an agreeableness to you, so want to, you know, take the next step with people. And I think that your sense of positivity with an honest, critical lens, and I say critical not in like inspection, but like to really think about something deeply. The frameworks that you have in place are awesome. And so I'm stoked to know you, and I'm stoked to support your company. And so I'm flat out wishing you the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It was a really different discussion from an interview from most of the ones that I have.
Where do you mostly go? Where do most of the conversations go?
They're more business and tactical things. I think you were more away more on the, you challenged me more on the emotional side.
Yeah.
And on weaknesses and strength and history. So it's good. I always like a lot of introspection. To then raise my own bar. So I find this discussion very helpful for me to keep raising my bar.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, Mateo. Hey, have a great rest of your afternoon and thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for diving into another episode of Finding Mastery with us. Our team loves creating this podcast and sharing these conversations with you. We really appreciate you being part of this community. And if you're enjoying the show, the easiest no-cost way to support is to hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. Also, if you haven't already, please consider dropping us a review on Apple or Spotify. We are incredibly grateful for the support and feedback. If you're looking for even more insights, we have a newsletter we send out every Wednesday. Punch over to findingmastery.com/newsletter to sign up. This show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, and we take our recommendations seriously. And the team is very thoughtful about making sure we love and endorse every product you hear on the show. If you want to check out any of our sponsor offers you heard about in this episode, you can find those deals at findingmastery.com/sponsors. And remember, no one does it alone. The door here at Finding Mastery is always open to those looking to explore the edges and the reaches of their potential so that they can help others do the same. So join our community, share your favorite episode with a friend, and let us know how we can continue to show up for you. Lastly, as a quick reminder, information in this podcast and from any material on the Finding Mastery website and social channels is for information purposes only. If you're looking for meaningful support, which we all need, one of the best things you can do is to talk to a licensed professional. So seek assistance from your healthcare providers. Again, a sincere thank you for listening. Until next episode, be well, think well, and keep exploring.